I am Omni. I am Omni. What in the world does that mean? Well, the allness that the universe is in me right now. The allness that the universe is in my mind, in my thinking, in my world. Now, am I going to take centuries and centuries and millennia to bring forth the thoughts that are in my mind? Am I going to take years and years and years to come to the conclusion of all of the wonderful things that are going on in my mind? Or am I living today the ultimate magnificence of what I'm thinking? Do you think that the ancients thought thoughts that we're thinking today? Truly they did. Did they think about cars? Did they think about jet planes? Did they think about spaceships? Did they think about mind? Did they think about all these things? Think about Pythagoras coming up with all of the mathematical formulae that he did. Think of all the other people. Think of the great minds of Socrates and Plato. Think of the great religious groups who were the attitudes of the people at that time. And they were not thought of as religious. They were just thought of, what is their thinking? What is their thinking? And they, out of the omni, the allness within them, drew forth the knowledge, drew forth the balance, drew forth those things that were helpful to them to live in their life. Now, as we think about the things that these people have done in prehistory, as we think about all the things that have gone on, and we think, well, where did the thoughts come from? Where did all the brilliance of their mind, the genius of their being come from? Well, it came right out of their own individual thinking. When we stop and meditate, we are thinking about things that are brilliant and beautiful. We're thinking about things that are marvelous, things that fulfill us, things that tell us what is really important in this world, or tell us what is really important in life. And as these things come and tell us what's really important in life, we are startled sometimes. Sometimes we are just amazed at the magnificence of the ideas that we're presented with, but not really. When the magnificence of the ideas that come to us come to us, we do not feel they're magnificent. We feel they're just natural, ordinary things that we would think. They're things that we would think about. And as they are things that we would think about, what happens? They become real in our life. And as people have written books about history, books about magic, books about all the things that they've written about, are these really fantastic? Yes, they are. But they're everyday fare for a genius. They're everyday fare for a person who sets his mind forth to listen to the magic within, who takes time to dream, and dream his impossible dream, dream the amazing dream, dream the dream of a genius. And when you dream the dream of a genius, I had the privilege of being in Czechoslovakia in Prague and going into Charles University and meeting with some of the alchemists there. And they were truly outstanding, marvelous people. And they spoke English very well. And we conversed with them, and they told us about their activities. They told us about the wonderful things that they were doing that the world had yet to see. And they were geniuses, all of them. They were magical men and magical women, and they were living in the catacombs of Charles University, down below the library. And we were there as a special group of people who were allowed to go down and talk to them and visit with them and see some of the things that they were doing. And it was truly amazing and wonderful. They were touching the omni of the universe. They were listening to the divine within themselves to the magic within themselves. And the world looks at them and calls them magical people. And really, they're not more magical than you or I. They just take time to listen. They take time to meditate on the inner circle of their beingness. And as they take time to listen to that inner circle of their beingness, they are coming up with all sorts of amazing things. And when I had just returned from there, back in the 90s, I was having all sorts of wonderful experiences with them. Well, actually, it was in 1972. And it was a great experience, and it was a great lesson to me. And it taught me that the more I meditate, the more I sit in peace and quiet and meditate, and the more I separate myself from all the thinking that the world is doing and enter into the thinking that I am doing, that inner thinking, that inner meditation, that inner magic to know what's going on, then I come up with some utterly amazing conclusions. And these conclusions are glorious conclusions. They're great conclusions. They're conclusions that tell me what really is going on in the world. And it is marvelous. And because I had that privilege, I have always been very close to and open to the inner well, that inner well of wisdom, that inner fountain of amazing things. Everyone is a genius. Everyone has the omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence of the magical allness that the universe is in them right now. You have it in you right now. I have it in me right now. And when I train myself to listen to it, when I train myself to think to it, when I say, I know that I know that I know, all the wisdom in me is revealed to me as I choose to accept it and call it forth. And I call it forth now in my life because I choose to have the magic of it there now. I do not have to tell other people about it. I do not have to give forth the magic that I come up with, like Einstein with his relativity and with his E equals MC squared. And that wonderful formula that came to him when he was sleeping. And he awoke and he wrote the formula down. And he had been searching for that formula for many years. And he wrote that formula down. And when he did, he didn't understand it. He didn't understand it because he was still trying to think of it in the technical terms that life brought him to think. And then when he went into his meditative thinking, the formula for relativity came strongly into his consciousness, and he was able to understand it and tell it to others. And as he understood it and told it to others, he was considered to be most marvelous. And that's at a very young age that he did this. Now, he has been contested by other scientists who say, no, it couldn't be, can't be so. It didn't bother him. A genius comes forth with his omniscience, with his all-knowledge, and gives it out and reveals it and tells it to the world, and he doesn't have to prove it. And the world says, prove it. And he says, that's up to you. I know it. I live it, and I am it. I don't need to prove it to myself. We don't need to prove to ourselves that we have this divine quality within us. All we do is turn to the divine quality within and listen to it and let it reveal to us all that it is and all that we are. Today, make this your claim, that you will listen to the divine within, that you will take that inner self of yourself and bring it forth with all its brilliance and all its beauty and all its magnificence and all its love. And as you do this, you bring out into the world just a little inkling, just a little touch of the allness that's there. And ours is not to bring out the all of the allness that's there, but just to bring out the little touches. That's what humans do. They bring out little touches of the divine. And the more little touches of the divine that you and I bring out, the more exciting our life is. And we bring these things out through meditation. We bring these things out through introspection. We bring these out by understanding the omniscience within us. Today, have a wonderful time doing just that, because you are a genius. You are brilliant. You are magical. You are everything that the alchemists ever dreamed of being, and you are that right now. And know that with all my heart and soul and being, I love you. I love you. I love you.